Every month, KUOW's Elizabeth Austin brings us poems from a Pacific Northwest writer. Elizabeth, who did you bring today?
I brought you two poems by Lena Khalaf Tufaha. She's a first-generation Arab-American poet. So Lena was born in Seattle but spent her childhood in Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. Both of these poems are examples of poetry's ability to connect us across borders of geography and experience.
Well, let's just jump right in. What's the first poem?
This is a very brief poem. It's aptly titled Fragment. And Lena wrote it imagining what Syrian refugees might see and feel as they flee toward what they hope is safety.
My name is Lena Khalaf Tufaha, and I wrote this poem, Fragment, in response to a piece of artwork by artist Karen Capado for the Broadsided Press series, responding to Syria. Fragment. There is nothing living here, only seashells warped to the shapes of their exiled residents, trinkets from the kingdom of childhood. The forecast calls for white phosphorus with occasional sunbreaks, barrel bombs in the afternoon, and in the evening, checkpoints and falling temperatures. We reach for what is useful, a skin to wear between weather patterns, a flame-resistant faith, hope enough to fit into our backpacks.
That's Lena Khalaf Tufaha reading her poem, Fragment.
There are so many images in this poem, this tiny poem, that it feels so much bigger than it actually is.
I agree, and I asked Lena what she was drawing on as she wrote that poem.
I think for me, sound is really important. I hear my grandmother's voice, her beautiful, lilting Syrian accent. It's a very particular accent in Arabic. And then the contrast of that beautiful voice and that beautiful sound against the sounds that are coming out of Syria today that are not beautiful at all. So I'll often hear news clips, and there'll be English overlaid on top of the Arabic, but I catch strands of devastated sentences or sounds of explosions, and that's such a stark contrast to what I associate with Syria.
Lena told me that what she's trying to do with her poetry and with her perspective as a Muslim Arab-American living in Seattle is to give a sense of context.
And my hope with poetry and with all art is that it reminds us of the human. It takes you back, you know, a few steps before the explosion, before the situation that's at hand, and reminds you that there are human beings with lives lived in this place, and that it's not a headline. And I keep wanting to sort of gently help the reader pull back the curtain and see, you know, the human beings living inside the home before it's destroyed.
I love that idea that art is about illuminating the human in all of us. Elizabeth, you mentioned that you have a second poem from Lena Khalaf Tufaha.
I do, and this is another poem that, as Lena puts it, pulls back the curtain and lets us see the people before the destruction. But this time the setting is Gaza. She told me she'd been sitting at home here in Seattle watching the war during the summer of 2014 and feeling helpless.
You know, I know people in Gaza. There are people I love in Gaza. These are not numbers. And it was terrifying to, you know, kind of open up my laptop every morning and see if there was bad news about anyone I recognized. That's a horrific way to live. And so that poem came out of deep despair. And I just posted it to sort of share with friends who were suffering through the same emotions. And friends meaning people from all backgrounds who cared about what was happening in Gaza.
So Lena posted that poem on Facebook?
Yes, and it was very quickly picked up and reposted and then tweeted around the world. It was translated into several languages, including Hebrew, and it's been performed all over the world, often as part of peace protests.
So what people were able to do with this poem really sustained me and reminded me that there are people everywhere who care deeply about justice and about their fellow human beings.
So the poem is called Running Orders, and here's Lena Khalaf Tufaha reading it.
Running Orders. They call us now, before they drop the bombs. The phone rings, and someone who knows my first name calls and says in perfect Arabic, "This is David." And in my stupor of sonic booms and glass-shattering symphonies still smashing around in my head, I think, do I know any Davids in Gaza? They call us now to say run. You have 58 seconds from the end of this message. Your house is next. They think of it as some kind of wartime courtesy. It doesn't matter that there is nowhere to run to. It means nothing that the borders are closed and your papers are worthless and mark you only for a life sentence in this prison by the sea, and the alleyways are narrow and there are more human lives packed one against the other more than any other place on earth. Just run. We aren't trying to kill you. It doesn't matter that you can't call us back to tell us the people we claim to want aren't in your house, that there's no one here except you and your children who are cheering for Argentina, sharing the last loaf of bread for this week, counting candles left in case the power goes out. It doesn't matter that you have children. You live in the wrong place, and now is your chance to run to nowhere. It doesn't matter that 58 seconds isn't long enough to find your wedding album, or your son's favorite blanket, or your daughter's almost completed college application, or your shoes, or to gather everyone in the house. It doesn't matter what you had planned. It doesn't matter who you are. Prove you're human. Prove you stand on two legs. Run.
That was Lina Khalaf-Tufaha reading her poem, Running Orders, a very, very powerful piece of writing. Just amazing. Well, Elizabeth Austin, as always, I bow down to the power of poetry. Thank you so much for bringing us this work.
You're welcome, Marcy.
You'll find links to more information about the poet, Lina Khalaf-Tufaha, as well as the text of both poems that you heard at our website, kuow.org.